Well, if you have your Bible, turn with me in your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I was planning on being finished with my God's requirements. We're still looking at that. God's requirements on having a healthy body. We're talking about a spiritual body, the church. And I thought I would be done next week, but since I didn't get to preach it any last Sunday, it's going to will be a couple more weeks. But we will get through this, and I pray this has been a help to you. I think it's been a help to me, and this is the way that the Lord has led me. And it's always best to mind the Lord. Amen. God tells you to do something, you got to mind Him. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm going to read three verses. This will show reverence for the Word of God and wake some of you up. How you could sleep through that, I don't know. Verse 16 says this: rejoice always. Amen. Verse 17 says this: pray without ceasing. Amen. Hey, you know, she just sung about that. Verse 18 says this: in everything give thanks. She sung about that too. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Amen.
May the Lord bless the reading of His Word and the preaching this morning. You may be seated. This is, I remember when LeBron James, I don't know why this came to my mind, but I was thinking about, as I read those three, I remember when LeBron James left here and went to Miami. They coined a phrase that I don't think I ever heard before, but when he went there, they had LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Bosh, and they were called what? The Big Three. Well, as I read that, I think to myself, those are the Big Three. Though, you know, rejoicing and praying and being thankful should be a pretty much everyday part of a believer's life. Would you agree with that? I mean, this is something that these ought to be marks in our lives. You know, rejoicing, praying, and being thankful. They really should be marks of a Christian. But there's something that really kind of stands out about the Big Three here, because notice the words that go with these. It makes it perpetual in our rejoice always. Yeah. Right? Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Amen. Well, you know, this is a tall order to fill. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
This is a tall order to fill. But if we're going to have a healthy spiritual body, these are three marks or three characteristics that truly should be part of our lives and really our everyday being as a Christian. Now, I really, as you think about rejoicing always, that stands out to me because, you know, there are times in our lives when rejoicing is not that hard to do, right? You know, when things are going good and you know, it seems like the job might be going good and the home life's good and health is good and, you know, if you get a new car, buy a new house, you know, so it's those are always times of rejoicing. Amen? It's easy to rejoice when things are going well, and certainly we should do that, but that's not what Paul tells the Thessalonians here. What Paul tells the Thessalonians is to rejoice always. And he's writing to a church, to a group of believers here who are really suffering some persecution. And so they, you know, they're not in the most ideal situation. They're having some hard times or some things going on. But he says to them, rejoice always. What does that look like when things are not going good in your life, when finances are low, when home life may be bad, when discouragement enters in, when problems arise, when battles are raging, waves seem like they're over your head? What does it look like when things seem to be falling apart all around you? And the Bible tells us, rejoice always. What does that look like? Well, you know, I began to think about that and think about their situation. One thing we got to realize is that the word joy means a feeling of delight from the present situation or anticipation of future happiness. I rest my case. Yeah. Next point. No, I'm just kidding. There's more I got to say. You know, what does it look like when things are not going well, and yet we still are told that even when things are bad, when things seem to be falling apart, you and I can still have a joy down in our heart. Well, I think we need to realize that this joy comes not from the circumstances that we find ourselves in. And you and I as believers should never say, you know, well, I guess we can joy under the circumstances because God has made us overcomers. And in spite of circumstances, in spite of bad things that may come in your life, you and I have a deep settled peace. We have a deep settled assurance that no matter what the world throws our way and no matter what life may bring, thank God we've got somebody with us when things are going bad. We have a settled determination that it may be bad now, but bless God, joy is coming in the morning. Things are gonna get better. That's joy. I mean, and think about that. Paul writing to a church that is going through difficult times, having some problems. And yet in the midst of these problems, he says, rejoice always. Amen. You know, I think Paul knew what he was talking about. For you see, Paul practiced what he preached. Amen. Right? Remember, Paul wrote to the Philippians in the book of Philippians. He wrote in Philippians 3:1, he says, I write unto you, rejoice always. Then he says in Philippians 4:4, he says, rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, rejoice. Paul knew that to rejoice in spite of what was going on was really the way to victory. Let me give you a case in point. I was thinking about this as I prepared this sermon. I was thinking about how when Paul and Silas went to the town of Philippi, you know, they go in, they're preaching the gospel, they're winning people to the Lord. The town gets in an uproar, and they take Paul and Silas. And in Acts 16, the story, they take Paul and Silas, and it says this. It says, they laid many stripes on them. They beat the tar out of them. I mean, they just beat them up. And then they hand them over to the Philippian jailer, and they say, put them in stocks. And it says he took them into the inner prison, into the dungeon, and he put stocks on their hands and stocks on their feet, locks them up, beats them silly, and he throws them in jail. Now, you can imagine that most people would probably not rejoice in that situation, right? Not Paul. See, Paul and Silas are in this jail. And by the way, when he wrote to the Philippians, rejoice, and again I say rejoice, he was incarcerated when he wrote it. Paul practiced what he preached. So here he is in a Philippian jail, and he's been beaten, and he's been, you know, cast into prison, stocks on his hand. I can imagine that, you know, maybe it took him a little while to recover because it says around midnight. You know, maybe they had to kind of assess the situation, but around midnight it says, Paul and Silas began to sing praise unto God and to pray. Now, here's what I begin to envision in my mind. I begin to envision them stocks on their hand and stocks on their feet. They may have been stocked together, but I can imagine, you know, maybe he was weak from blood loss and weak from not getting any sleep or the situation was overwhelmed, but I got a feeling that after a little while I began to go, you know what? I think I'm just going to praise him anyway. Oh, the stocks are hanging, but I want to give my hand up just a little while. Welling up inside of you that'll give you some joy in your life. And think about this. Think about this in your own life. You see, you may be feeling like you're in a prison of despair. You may be here this morning and you're feeling like you're in a prison of doubt. You may feel like today that you're in the stocks of depression and finances aren't going good and life seems to be getting you down. But I want to tell you something. Hey, listen, I just think we ought to praise Him this morning. Hey, listen, in spite of the stocks of discouragement and the prison of despair, I say get your hand up and say praise the Lord. And I want to tell you, God will bless you today. You know why? Listen to this. Praisers are prevailers.
Praise the Lord.
You believe that? You know what happened when, in spite of prison stocks and a prison dungeon, Paul and Silas praised Him? You know what happened, don't you? Bible says God sent an earthquake and the stocks fell off and the prison doors flung open. Let me tell you, they were set free. They had victory and they praised God, and the Philippian jailer got saved. Hallelujah. Praisers are prevailers. When you praise the Lord in spite of your circumstances, in spite of doubt, in spite of discouragement, in spite of battles, in spite of waves over your head, praise Him anyway. I want to tell you, you're going to come up out of the valley. Praisers are prevailers. Now I want to tell you something. We have got something to praise the Lord about. Don't we? We really do. Billy Sunday said this. He said, if there's no joy in your religion, you got a leak in your faith. I like that. Think about your situation as a Christian. Man, listen. Folks, brothers and sisters, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise the Lord. I say glory. Hey, in that we can rejoice. Listen, you have indwelling in you the presence of the Holy Spirit. You have the outward fellowship of the saints, that is the church. You have the assurance that greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. You have the promise we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Hallelujah. You have the blessedness of sins that are forgiven, forgotten, cast as far as east is from the west, never to be remembered again. Well, praise the Lord. You see, sometimes when things are going bad, your praise may be quiet. It may just be that settled determination that no matter what, you're going to hold on to that joy inside of you. But I think sometimes, just every now and again, that praise becomes expressive. Amen. Just every now and then, it may be that you just got to raise your hand and say, thank you, Lord. I just want to say praise the Lord. It may be a tear running down your face. It may just be shouting hallelujah. But every now and then, praise becomes expressive. You got to let it out. Hey, listen. I use this a lot, but folks get so excited about sports, and you know, right now it's basketball. LeBron James comes up, whoo, makes a dunk. Crowd comes up, woo! I say the tomb is empty. Woo! Glory! Oh, that's the greatest event ever. Amen. Rejoice always. Always. You want to have a healthy spiritual body? Rejoice. Number two, pray without ceasing. Now I know what you're thinking. Somebody automatically goes to the expectation of prayer. Well, how are you supposed to pray without ceasing? I mean, come on. You know, it's hard to pray for 2 minutes. Somebody pray without ceasing. Before you go to that, look at the positive here. If He tells us to pray without ceasing, you know what that means? That means we have unceasing access to the throne of God. Hallelujah. Hey, listen, try that at the White House. Try that at the State House. Hey, try it at my house. You may not get an answer, but I want to tell you, when you come to God, you've got access. Pray without ceasing. We have an intercessor that never sleeps, an advocate that never tires, an attorney that is always on call, an alliance that will never fail us. Pray without ceasing. What does that look like?
Our Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Let me just voice what God might say. Oh, child, come on in. I'm glad to hear from you. My ears are open to your cry. Oh, you got some troubles? Let me hear them. I can bail you out. Are you, got some fears? Thank God. Oh, listen, I'll make you get over them fears. You've got some trials in your life. I'll give you victory. You've got sin. I'll forgive you.
Now, if you call me at 3 in the morning, it better be an emergency, right? But if you wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and it's not an emergency, all you got to do is get on your knees.
Amen.
Lord, I guarantee you this, He is there. He's there. I mean, man, man, that'll make you shout. Unceasing access to God. Now, what does praying without ceasing look like? I mean, how's that even possible? And you know what's amazing? Think about this. Think about these little gadgets we got now. You know, I could text my wife right now and you wouldn't even know. I could have my phone on because you wouldn't hear a sound. It'd be quiet communication, wouldn't it? Nobody hears about it. But the words are there and the message is gotten. You know, sometimes we can communicate with God through quietness. Remember Wednesday night we were talking about prayer and we talked about how when Hannah came into the temple and she wanted a son and she was crying out to God. She was bringing her need to the Lord. And literally she was just, you know, lamenting and groaning. We were talking about that word groaning. She was groaning in her spirit. But you know what her prayer looked like? Here's what it looked like. Her lips were moving, but there was no sound. Let me tell you something. God answered that prayer. God knows lip reading. Amen. God can read your lips. God can read your mind. Sometimes praying without ceasing means quiet prayer. It means talking to the Lord in a quiet way. Sometimes it may mean while you're in your car. You ever pray when you're driving? Yeah, I know, especially in this way. Oh, help me, Lord. Yeah. Help them, Lord. Oh, Lord. Help them not to slide over and kill me. You know? But you literally, seriously, you can pray while you drive. You can pray while you're at your machine at work. You can pray while you're at your desk. Praying without ceasing means you and I are in a place where we can get a hold of God. We can get a hold of God. Man, you know, I can just about get a hold of my wife anytime I need her during the day. You can most of the time get a hold of me if you call my cell and you don't get me, I'll call you right back. But think about it. We can get a hold of God. We can get a hold of the Creator of the universe. We can have unceasing access anytime, day or night, when we are in a position to pray. Let me ask you something. Are you in that position? Are you living your life so that right now, if some need arose, that you're on speaking terms with the Lord? Boy, I don't ever want to get on terms where I'm not talking to the Lord. Amen. You know, folks get mad at each other. You know, they might not talk for a few hours or something. I don't want to get that way with God. I want to always be in a place where I can pray. Listen to that. Think about the benefits. Communicating with God. Communication is the basis of any good relationship. Amen? Get to know God better when we pray. Helps us understand ourselves better. Did you know that? Prayer helps you understand yourself better. It
brings things to your mind that you need in your life and your weaknesses. It magnifies and alerts you of things you need to watch and be on guard for. Praying about specific areas that are weak reminds us we need to make right choices. Helps develop a greater trust in the Lord. It's an opportunity to worship. You ever use prayer just to worship?
Amen.
Oh, it's a wonderful time. Prayer follows the example that Christ set.
Amen.
Isn't it amazing? The disciples came to Jesus and they didn't say, "Lord, teach us to raise the dead. Lord, teach us to feed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Lord, show us how to walk on water." You know what they said? "Lord, teach us to pray."
Amen.
We want to know how to pray. We want to be prayers. Oh, church, we need to be praying. And you know something? There's never a shortage of things to pray about.
Amen.
Did you know that?
Amen.
Listen to the requests that are made and listen to your brother. There's always lost people to pray about. The Bible instructs us to pray for those in authority, pray for ministers, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for the sick, pray for those who would despitefully use us. There's never a shortage of things to pray about. And when you don't pray, your life will reflect an attitude of not praying. Your life will reflect. Listen to what Oswald Chambers said. He said, "Prayer is the breath of our lungs and the blood flow of our heart. Our breath never ceases and our blood never stops flowing. And if they do, we die. Without prayer, we will die spiritually. We cannot exist spiritually without it."
Amen.
I like
Amen.
That. So we got rejoice always. We have pray without ceasing. And then the placement of this third of the big three is important, I think, because it comes after the exhortation to pray without ceasing. And it kind of goes along with the rejoicing always aspect. He says, "In everything, give thanks." In everything. You see, I think an attitude of gratitude should certainly mark believers. When we're unthankful, you know what unthankfulness is? Unthankfulness is a mark of wickedness. In Romans chapter 1, verse 21, he talks about they became unthankful and vain in their foolish imaginations and hearts were darkened. Unthankfulness is a sign of the apostasy of the last days in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. Unthankful, unholy. Unthankfulness marks 9 lepers that when Jesus healed 10 of them, 9 never even turned around and said thank you. 9 marked those who were ungrateful for what Christ had done in their life. Conversely to that, thankfulness is our mark. The one leper came back and he came back to thank Jesus for the healing that he'd received. Thankfulness, listen to this, marked the woman with an alabaster box who came in to Simon's meal when Jesus was there. And she, with her tears,
Amen.
Cried on his feet and wiped his feet with her hair and washed them with her tears and broke her alabaster box that was very costly and anointed at the feet of Jesus. And Simon, he becomes indignant about the whole thing. And he says, "What is this woman doing?" And Jesus at that point told a parable. And he said this. He said, "Two people who owed, one who owed 50 denarii and one who owed 500 were forgiven." He says, they were frankly forgiven. Just said, "I forgive you." He said, "Who do you think would be more grateful for that forgiveness?" And he said, "I guess the one who was forgiven the most." And Jesus said, "She has been forgiven for much and she is thankful." And I want to tell you, I have been forgiven much. I was a lost sinner, but he saved me. And I want to say thank you. In everything, give thanks. The word exhorts us over and over again. I read in Psalm 100 verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him. Psalm 107:22, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Colossians 1:12, just one more verse. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Over and over and over again, the scripture exhorts us to be thankful. Now,
This thankfulness comes right after the prayer. And can I tell you this? I think that's for a reason. I think that sometimes when we pray, the answer that we seek may not be the one that we receive. And even in those times, even when we don't get the answer that we want, when God's answer is different, in those times, still be thankful.
Amen.
You know, James says in James chapter 1 verse 2, he says, brethren, when you fall into diverse testings, rejoice. Be thankful. How do you do that? You keep your eyes on the Lord.
Amen.
You keep your eyes on the Lord. On what grounds should we be thankful? He says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's get a song. Well, as I was trying to come up with a conclusion for this sermon, I thought about this. I thought about that term called multitasking. You've heard that, right? When you're doing a few things at once. We all multitask at one time or another. Well, listen now, I'm not done. They're getting a song, but hang on. We multitask when we rejoice always, when we pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Think about this. You've heard the expression, an idle mind is the devil's playground. I think that the big three, when these are characteristics of our lives, keep us in a place where we have our mind fixed on God. Don't you? Let me ask you today, are you rejoicing? Do you have joy? Do you know that your name is written in heaven? And does that bring into your heart a joy that is unspeakable? Can you right now talk to the Lord as you would talk to me? Pray without ceasing, always in an attitude and a place where you can talk to Him. Can you, in whatever comes your way, look past it and be thankful that we serve a sovereign God who's in control of every situation?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you, Lord, for your presence today, for the wonderful time of worship and the special singing, the altar activity, Lord, people praying. We're so grateful when we witness that, Lord. We're so grateful when we see you moving through people that mind the Lord. And I'm so thankful that you did today. And Lord, this passage of scripture, Lord, it's so powerful. It's short. It's to the point, but it's powerful. Lord, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, let us have these characteristics in our lives. Let us be about your business. Let us truly have the joy that comes only from you. And I pray that if there's one here today, you know our hearts. If there's one here today that does not experience the joy that you bring into a life, I pray today that they will experience it before they leave at this altar. In Jesus' name, amen.